Got your Bible, would you turn with me to Luke chapter 1? Just a few verses, but keep the Bible open in front of you in Luke chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 26 to 28. Luke 1, 26 to 28. And the Bible says these words: in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Just keep that open in front of you. You know, it's a well-known fact that the majority of people don't like change. I'm not one of those people. I like constant change. That's just the way I'm wired up. I'm not like the church warden who was talking to a visitor after a Sunday service. And the visitor asked the church warden how long he'd been in the church. "I've been here 70 years, he said. "Wow," said the visitor. "You must have seen a lot of changes in that time then." "I have," said the church warden, "and I've resisted every one of them." Most people don't like change. They don't like change because it disturbs them. It worries them. It frightens them. Most people would like to stay more or less the same. Perhaps life getting a little bit better, but more or less staying the same as it's always been. But life is not like that. You know that. Life does change. And it can change very quickly indeed. It can change with just a phone call. Some years ago, I got a phone call very late at night to say that my dad had suddenly, unexpectedly passed away. And at midnight, Lynn and I had to drive to the hospital in Chester to meet my sister and say goodbye to my dad. And life had changed forever with a phone call. Some of you have had that call. You know what I'm talking about today. You can get a call from a doctor who says, "We're concerned about your test results. You need to come in as soon as possible." And life has changed. You can get a call offering you a job and a whole new life of opportunities and possibilities opens up. You can get a call from your girlfriend who says she can't go out tonight. She's washing her hair. She asks if you want to go out. You say, "No, I'll stay in as well. It won't be the same going out without you." But you go out anyway to the Whisper Discotheque in Litherland. And as you're on the dance floor at 1 o'clock in the morning, moving like John Travolta, you bump into someone, turn around to apologize and come face to face with your girlfriend. Neither of you see each other again, and life has changed. True story. Now, none of this is new. A call can come and life can sometimes change, but when God is the one who calls, life always changes. Always, always changes. God doesn't make a call just to see how you're doing. When God calls, life changes. Think about Noah. For over 500 years, his life has mostly been the same routine, 500 years. But then God calls and tells Noah to build a boat, an ark, in a place that's never even seen rain. And so Noah does, bless him, bigger than this building. And his life changed forever. Think about Abraham, a very wealthy man living in Iraq. Abraham's 75 years old with a comfortable lifestyle, very wealthy. And then God calls him, tells him to leave everything behind, travel hundreds of miles to the land of Canaan. It's a long journey. Start your life again. 75 years old. And Abraham does. And his life changes forever. Think of Moses, an 80-year-old shepherd living in the Sinai desert. No doubt thinking that's how his life is always going to be, till the Lord takes him. Then God calls and tells him to leave the sheep and lead the Israelites from Egypt to the promised land. Think of David, a young shepherd boy, the youngest of his brothers, no doubt believing that he'll one day, he'll always be a shepherd. Then God calls and anoints him to become the king of Israel, the greatest king that Israel would ever have. And David goes from a shepherd boy to a king. When God calls, his life changed forever. Think of Nehemiah, an Israelite living in Persia, with a top job, singing, serving King Artaxerxes. It was a good lifestyle. Then God calls Nehemiah, tells him to travel to Jerusalem to rebuild the city that's ruined. And Nehemiah says, okay. And Nehemiah's life changes forever. Think of Esther, a young Jewish girl also living in Persia, which is what we call Iran today. Esther is then the queen of this vast empire. It's a lifestyle of unimaginable luxury. Then God calls and tells Esther to go and see the king and ask him to save the Jews. It was high risk. She could lose her life, queen or not. But bless her, Esther does. And she and the nation are changed forever. Think of Paul, a deeply religious fanatic, believes that his mission in life is to persecute Christians. Then God calls and turns Paul's life around 180 degrees. And Paul gets to be possibly the greatest Christian who ever lived. When God called and Paul said, okay, his life changed forever. You know, there's countless other examples that I could give. But you get the point. When God calls, you always, always change. If God calls and you don't change, something's wrong. It's a spiritual principle. Something is wrong. God doesn't waste his time just seeing how you are. When he calls, he has a mission. I was 40 years old working as an engineer for British Telecom. It was a really good job. I did enjoy it. It was good conditions, good prospects, good pay. I got to go all over Liverpool, all over the world, fixing telephones. A job given to me by John. Where is he? Where's John Ashy? Over there. This man here got me 10 years employment and one of the best jobs I've ever had. Bless him. I owe John a great deal. But I had a wonderful job, as John well knows. Then God called me to be a pastor, to go to theological college. Now, hands up, church. I never wanted to be a pastor. Really? Not for one second did I have a dream of being a pastor. Not for one minute. I was happy working as an engineer. I had my own little car every 3 years. Good money, holidays, whatever. And then God calls me to go to theological college. I didn't want to go to college for 5 years, then do 4 years probation. I didn't know it was 9 years. I thought it was two. As Lynn knows, I signed up for 2 years with the Lord, and he didn't say it wasn't 9 years, he just never told me it was. If I'd have known it was 9 years, would I have done it? No. I wouldn't have gone to college. I didn't know. God is very clever. Right. But when God called me, his call was unmistakable. So Lynn and I, not me, Lynn and I, we said yeah, and our lives changed forever, and this is part of my story for all of eternity. Because I said yes to God when he called. And the reality is, God calls you, all of you. He calls all of you. You might be thinking, well, God's never called me to build an ark, never called me to rebuild a city, never called me to lead 2 million people across the Sinai desert, never called me to fight a giant called Goliath, never called me to be a pastor. Well, perhaps not. But I'm going to tell you, and everyone listening on that screen, God does call you. God calls every one of you. He says, follow me. Whether you decide to do it, it's up to you. But I'm telling you now, before you stand before him, he's called you. God calls everyone. He calls you, he says, follow me, give to the poor, serve others, forgive others, pray together, read his book, share the gospel, use your gifts, love one another. God calls us all of the time. But sometimes we can ignore the call, or even worse, we can say no. Friends, don't do that. That is catastrophic if you say no to God's call. Because if you say yes, you cannot even imagine what God has got planned for you. The book of Jeremiah says, for I know the plans I have for you. Let that sink deep into your heart. I know the plans I have for you. Rishi Sunak doesn't know the plans. Joe Biden doesn't know the plans. Your partner doesn't know the plans. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, plans not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Isn't that great? A hope and a future. Somebody in Russia texted me yesterday and said, isn't hope a great word? And I then got into a theological discussion with this person. And I said, you know, guess what our church is called? The Hope Center. It's what the world needs. God has got plans for every one of you, every one of you listening. No matter who you are. You know, you may feel unimportant this morning. You may feel insignificant. You may feel your life hasn't amounted to much. You're just ordinary. But God has plans for you, for this life and the next, if you heed his call. Mary was just an ordinary girl, no older than 14 or 15, I think about 14. She was living in a backwater and northern town called Nazareth. People generally thought little of anything of Nazareth. It was looked down upon, especially by the people in the south, in Jerusalem. Think London and Kirby, where I grew up. It's exactly the same. I've been turned out of two hotels with Lynn because I put Kirby in the book. And I said, no, we don't have people like that. And they've turned us out of two hotels down south. We haven't got a good name up here, but we're the best in the world. So it was the same in Jesus' day, London Kirby. People mocked the accent of the northerners. Have you ever had your accent mocked? I have loads of times. Do you know where I've had it? Oh, no, people are watching. No, I'll say it anyway. Do you know where I've had it mocked most is with other pastors? You wouldn't believe the spiritual snobbery. Honestly, people have said, you know, when they've heard my accent, you know, have you got a radio to sell, mate? Have you got any hubcaps? Once somebody said to me in Southampton once, any hubcaps? So I said, as it happens, yeah, I have got a few. So back 2,000 years ago, people thought zero of northerners. They mocked the accents. Think of Peter warming himself around the fire when Jesus is being interviewed. Remember? Matthew 26. Think of those around the cross who thought Jesus was calling to Elijah because of his accent. Jesus had a northern accent. Isn't that great? What if he speaks like me? So. Think of the disciple Philip who went to Nathanael and he said, come meet Jesus who's from Nazareth. And Nathanael replies, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? See, that's what people thought of Nazareth. But that's where Mary lived. And God had plans for Mary. 14 or 15 years old, Mary was engaged to a man called Joseph, who was a carpenter. According to Jewish custom, based upon the arrangement made between the parents of the two young people, children could be engaged when they were very young, 3-4 year old, and they could be engaged. But they didn't become espoused until they were getting ready for marriage. They wouldn't consummate the marriage, but they would be espoused a year before their wedding day. Now, if you were to read your Bible, it says that Mary and Joseph were espoused. Do you know what that means? There was less than a year to go before the wedding day. And when they were espoused, the moment that this couple were espoused, it was a legal bond so strong it required divorce to break it. They were as good as married. So Mary's now less than a year before the wedding day. Her life is full of the mundane, as is probably yours a lot of the time, and mine. Washing, cleaning, helping her parents, but her mind is full of her thoughts of a wedding day. You understand this? This is a real person, this. This isn't a story for the kids. This is a real person. Every day that passed brought her closer to the day that she dreamed about for so long. Preparing her dress, preparing the veil. The veil was really important in Mary and Joseph's day. Talking to the other girls in the village, speaking to her parents and relatives, talking with the rabbi about the service that would take place. Speaking to Joseph and asking him how the house is going that he's building in his father's house. That was Mary's life. in a backwater northern town. Ordinary, a little different from all the other young girls. But one day an angel comes calling. His name is Gabriel. That's God's messenger. That's his task in heaven. It's always Gabriel brings the message. He's already been to see Mary's cousin 6 months earlier. Her cousin Elizabeth, she was very old. But the angel Gabriel says to Elizabeth, you're going to have a baby. You're going to be a boy. And Mary will have known that. So Gabriel comes to Mary. Can you use your imagination for the last 5 minutes? Don't just read this and say, let's get on for the dinner or whatever the preparations. This was a real girl in a real place in a real time. And this angel just turns up. I don't know whether he glowed. I don't know whether he was 7 foot tall. I don't know. He's an angel. And the Bible says he came to Mary and he says these words. Greetings, you who are highly favored. In Greek, the word highly favored is charito, and it means highly blessed or much graced. It's a beautiful, beautiful phrase. Gabriel says, you are highly favored. Greetings, Mary. The Lord is with you. And then the Bible goes on. You've got it in front of you there, Luke chapter 1. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Shall I tell every one of you this morning? That's the most common phrase that God uses in the Bible. Yeah. By a long way. Because there are times we can be frightened. All of us. Life can do that. And God comes alongside and he says to every one of you today, don't be frightened. I know. I know all about you. I know what's going on. Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You are highly graced. I think it's lovely. You will have a child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, which means Savior. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. 14-year-old girl. And she says, how will this be? Good question. How will this be? Because I'm a virgin. And Gabriel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born. To be born will be called Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren in it is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. We could stop there, couldn't we? What do you think is impossible? According to Gabriel, who knows everything, nothing's impossible to God. And then Mary utters these fantastic words, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. When God calls you, is that going to be your response? May it be to me as you have said. That's what Mary said. Okay. Don't understand, but okay. Then the angel left her. So just imagine as we close that moment, 14 years old and now pregnant, but never having been with a man. Less than a year to a wedding day. How's she going to tell Joseph? How's she going to tell her parents and her grandparents? Who's going to believe her? Well, as it turned out, hardly anybody. Ever. The village would gossip for the rest of Mary's life, all wondering who the father really was. Read Mark chapter 6, that'll tell you that. We know Mary's the mother, but who's the father? All of her life, they gossiped about her. All of her life, they disbelieved her. And the moment they said, well, we know Mary's his mother, we don't know who the father is, that was the highest insult you could give to a Jewish girl. All wondering who the father really was. Probably Joseph, but who knows? You know, Mary could have been stoned to death for adultery. But the life she dreamed of was never going to happen now. Just imagine that moment, church. Now she's got to start having those conversations, starting with Joseph. Imagine that moment. She has to go to Joseph. Something to tell you. What's that, Mary? I'm pregnant. Whose is it? He will have asked. It's God's. It's God's. He's the Father. He didn't believe Mary. Who would? But then Gabriel comes back again. Because men are really slow. I told Mary, didn't you believe it? No. Well, I'll tell you now. Joseph, this is of God. Mary's telling the truth. Then she has to tell her parents. Can you imagine that in Jewish society? We've watered it down now in our age. 14-year-old girl. Mom, Dad, I'm going to have a baby. Whose is it? It's God's. Yeah, but really, whose is it? Is it Joseph? No, it's God's. God's the Father. How many believed her? Hardly anybody, if anybody. I don't know whether her parents believed that, I doubt it. But it was decided that Mary would go and stay with her cousin Elizabeth in the hill country of Judea, not too far from Nazareth, about a day's journey. So Mary enters Elizabeth's house. I'm going to finish with this. And when she goes into the house, the Bible says that the six-month-old baby in Elizabeth's stomach, John, he kicked. And I would like to venture an opinion that John was still in the womb when he first worshipped the Son of God. And Elizabeth then knew what was going on. And as Mary enters Elizabeth's house, she sings a song. Luke 1:46-55. Now, I'm not going to read it because I want you to read it today or this week. Is that okay? Before we come back next week, read that song. We don't know the music, but we have the words. But a man who I like called John Michael Talbot has put music to the words, and we're going to finish our service with that song. You read those words in Luke 1, and you tell me of any 14-year-old girl like you know who could write them. Because I don't know anybody like that. Mary knew God deeply and devotedly. She was no random choice by God. Mary was chosen to be the mother of God because of her character. She is not to be worshipped. She's one of our family. But she's highly favored. So read it. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months, says the Bible. Then returned to Nazareth. Imagine that. The pregnancy now beginning to show. Those that didn't know in Nazareth now knew Mary is pregnant. The gossip, the leaks, the whispers, they now began in earnest. Could life get any more difficult? Could life change any more? What would the future hold for Mary and Joseph? Well, you'll have to come back next week to find out.